Hey folks, how you doing? This is The Mullet. Adam O'Brien coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia for episode number 215 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. On tonight's episode, we're going to be looking at a classic which you've been asking for and one I've been trying to find the English version of on Blu-ray. Sadly, I didn't find it, but I certainly found it on streaming on Amazon Prime, the amazing film starring Gary Graham, which really showed us live-action robots for the first time on the size that would then influence, of course, films like, of course, Transformers and, of course, the big one, Pacific Rim. That is, of course, the one and only, the legendary Robot Jocks. That's here tonight on this episode, episode number 215 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
I'm sitting here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching that movie on the Lethal Mullet. Wow, I'm the leader. Wow, I'm the leader. Oh, I'm the leader. Mullet.
And thank you and welcome to episode number 215 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host Adam O'Brien, coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. Tonight we're going to be looking at a mecha classic. That is, of course, the great Robot Jocks, which was, even in the 1990s when it came out here in Australia, extremely bloody hard to find. Now, even on VHS, you know, on the old format, it was just not on the shelves. Or if it was there, it was rented out. It usually had that rented out sticker on it, which means it was already out, folks. You know, they used to have that, the Amiga Video, Civic Video, VO Easy. I'll just go on with that one day and we'll talk about all the VHS stores, but not today, folks. No, we've got some robot action to chat about, and you know, it's a great film to look back on. You know, I still remember seeing it as a kid and on TV on a Friday night once on Channel 10 here in Australia, and it's certainly still to this day got a place in my heart, because without that we wouldn't have the imagination of people to go on and make something like, of course, Pacific Rim. You know, Guillermo del Toro did such an amazing job pulling off such a great flick, and I personally think the sequel might even be better, which no doubt was somebody else at the helm too, and partly shot in Australia. So this was definitely an influence on that. And also you got Joe Haldeman wrote the script for this one, famous, obviously, science fiction author who did The Forever War, which was kind of a riff on Starship Troopers to a certain extent, I think, personally. But with a little bit more, obviously, the time quota part of it is the idea, you know. Somebody coming back to the planet after they've been out so far and obviously using normal travel means and using the theory of relativity, what it would have been like if you came back from a war and three generations or whatever it was of your, you know, family are already gone. What did you do? What did you fight for? You don't know these people. The families that you had, friends they had, are all gone. So interesting story. But he worked on that one, and obviously too, this is a great one for, you know, the work of these great designers, which we're going to talk about soon. Some you'll know quite well already, and of course some great cast. Gary Graham, obviously, from Alien Nation and Star Trek. You know, I got to know him through Alien Nation. I'm going, where's James Caan? He's not there playing Sykes. You know, Sykes. You know, we know what the alien version of that is. It means excrement and cranium. Shithead. But no, Gary obviously is, you know, somebody that's been involved in majority of the biggest stuff he's done has been in Star Trek, obviously, as Ambassador of Saval in Enterprise. But of course, he played Sykes in Alien Nation. That's, of course, based off the Jimmy Carter, Mandy Patinkin film produced by Galen Hurd. But in this, yeah, this is before all that, in shot, I think, as far back as 1987. It's the film that we're going to be chatting about tonight, folks, so buckle up, strap in, and get ready for your ride into a wide, mechanical, and methodical way of looking at this film. And we will hear Robot Jocks tonight, directed by Stuart Gordon. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
has many a thing to say about deep thought. And deep thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide. But who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself? Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course, Dan the Man from Birmingham. All on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
And I've been working long, long, long days ahead, working in front of a VHS. From 1980, from the 90s to the 2000s, there's some damn good films. From Arnold to Sly to Jean-Claude, we cover all of those flicks. You have to be a man and have to have a mullet flicking out all behind your ears. Just get the feel, steal between the wheel, and those that are worth it. I've been working long, long, long days ahead, sitting in front of a VHS. From Arnold to Sly, Van Damme to Lundgren, you know Lethal will be covering it. Cheers, folks. Enjoy Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Well, the new John Wick's just dropped, folks, that's right. And the news is that they're going to have a bit of a rest. Well, I mean, they've got a whole John Wick universe they're kind of building here with a TV show and all that sort of stuff. So this comes courtesy of our good pals at Dark Horizons. They've let us know that basically, headline of this one is that John Wick is going to have a rest. Now, without going into it, obviously we know that, you know, there's a lot on the plate. There's a prequel series called The Continental. There's a spin-off called The Ballerina. There's a lot of different stuff that's going to be, you know, obviously revolved around the universe of John Wick. And to build that even further, I mean, they're talking about a fifth film and stuff like that, obviously, before. And, I mean, it just could keep going. But, you know, the thing is, how long will be, you know, before the franchise moves on past Keanu? Because, I mean, Keanu's going to want to do different stuff, not just this series of, you know, films and stuff like that too. And, you know, and how long before he knows he's tried everything that's, you know, been done and here and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's what makes this one quite interesting.
in particular, Chad Stahelski is obviously still attached to be doing, the Highlander series and stuff like that too. So, obviously they're looking at the fact that Keanu will be off wanting to do other stuff, and that opens up the doors for other people to jump in here, you know, and I think the franchise will continue. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, I think it's one of those, particularly the series, you know, it's an interesting one that the world is just as, good, I think, with it being somebody else in the lead, no matter what, because all of the characters in it are interesting, you know, even though John Wick itself, you know, as a character is that too. Now, the other one coming along at Amazon Prime is really interesting to me is Blade Runner 2099. And, you know, we've got a showrunner by the name of Silke Louisa, who's working on this one. And of course, obviously it goes on from, you know, obviously coming through Scott Free Production. So it has a tie to Ridley, you know, obviously the original director, and of course, Alcon. So, you know, what's interesting about that is that obviously it's coming hot on the heels from 2049, which was back in 2017. Denis Villeneuve's film before he really kicked into gear and gave us Dune Part 1. You know, again, interesting where they're going to go and all that sort of stuff. Which brings us to some news, too, of Dune Part 2. And, of course, you know, we know they've talked about, obviously, you know, how big and epic this is going to be. Now, because it actually goes to different parts of the Dune universe, this is where things get interesting. So it's not just Arrakis that's going to be the big focal point of this too. So we've got obviously the Harkonnens, so you're going to see Geaty Prime more. Although we did see Geaty Prime in the last one as well. But we'll also get to see more of, obviously, the Emperor in this as well, who's not on Geaty Prime at all. He's got his own planet. So we get to see him. And the Bene Gesserit, obviously, is the other part too. So there's literally three different worlds, if you like. And that's part of the novel. That's part of the series. Makes the things really, really interesting. So, obviously, Geaty Prime is such a huge part of the particularly the latter half of the novels. So we get to see obviously the thoughts of what the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen is going through, where he's going to be taking obviously things as well. You know, it's such a tantalizing idea to get the mind of the bad guy's mind and see where he's going with things. And again, very, very interesting indeed. And, of course, that too, of course, we've got, on the end of that, we've got the Carinos, who, you know, obviously the ruling empire and, you know, sitting on the Lion Throne. So we're going to get to see, obviously, that as well. So, again, all very well and done. And, obviously, Denis Villeneuve's a fan, so he's going to know how to really punch that out to a certain extent that we've never really seen before.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself, Brandon Shane Butala, and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
Rito, so thanks Tom Waddy, all the way from Saskatchewan in Canada. You bloody legend, you. Here on the Leader Mullet tonight. Here, Yanko Stews, let you know. Grab your kilt, grab your sport, and get ready to listen to Aaron bring it to you now. Here on the show, talking about rubber jokes.
Nice one, Stu. Thanks very much for that. And yeah, here we are. We're going to be doing it, folks. Hope you are ready. That's right. We're going to be looking at the one, the only, Robot Jocks. As mentioned before, you know, I knew mostly about this film due to the fact that I couldn't rent it
for quite a while because it was so popular, it was just not on the shelves. It's a 1990 post-apocalyptic mecha science fiction movie directed by Stuart Gordon, and was the first time I was seeing Gary Graham, and along with, of course, Anne Mary Johnson and Paul Coslow, which we're going to get into those two actors as well. They're fantastic. Co-written by the famous Joe Haldeman, and the film follows Achilles, one of the many great robot jocks pilots. The pilots of these massive giant mecha that fight battles for the rights of disputes of different states in this dystopian world. It was produced by Charles Band, best known for things like, of course, Future Cop back in the day, and of course many other films. And he basically liked the concept, and from there wanted to get Haldeman to write, along with the director, put something together and make this movie. This is for Charles Band's series of films that he put together for a company he made called Empire Pictures. And, of course, Empire Pictures did all those great straight-to-video, or in this case, just B-grade cinema back in the day. And the movie is, again, a low-budget film, and in that sort of Roger Corman mold. If any, this is kind of like, you know, his Battle Beyond the Stars. This is the one that really did, you know, punch it out as far as money. And it's also finished, it was finished in Rome in 1987. But at the time, Empire Pictures was bankrupt, and it delayed basically the release until 1990. So, which is, you know, quite interesting. It did well overseas. It did about $1.2 million in gross, and but it failed to return the massive cost of production. So what's the movie all about, folks? Well, 50 years after the massive Holocaust, man is basically surviving through having just nations that are put together to a market. And these are all different, you know, states and also countries put together. In this case, the Soviet and Russian area is under a thing called the Confederation. And war is outlawed. So between basically the American market and the Soviets with the Confederation, they battle in a gladiator-style thing with mecha. Almost like Robotech's Mecha Sudai. If you're a player of the Palladium games, you'll know the reference I'm giving you there. It's basically giant gladiators. The pilots of these are called robot jocks, so as in, you know, robot athletes. That's very much what they are. Now, think of Pacific Rim. How these machines were operated is exactly like they are in the original Pacific Rim. And one of these, for the market, running is their champion, Gary Graham, playing character by the name of Achilles. He's got 9 flights under his belt and will fight against Alexander. And this is all for battling for the country part of Alaska. From here, we've got robot designer who designs the stuff for his, obviously, the weaponry and the robot itself. Played by Danny Kamikona. He plays Matsumoto, or Doc, in this. And Demi Kamikona, you'll know from Karate Kid 2, where he played, of course, Sato. And of course, he's got the famous lines that he does in that one against, of course, Miyagi, you know. Miyagi! He lets out, of course, at the end, becomes good friends with his, you know, former training partner, again, at the end. And that's, again, number 2 is probably my favorite of the Karate Kid series. You know, between Chosen and Daniel's fight, and, of course, the fight between Miyagi, and seeing the redemption of Sato. It's such a good actor, Danny Kamikona was. The late, great Danny Kamikona. And you can also see him in a unrelated film, which pretty much is a ripoff slash continuation to some degree. I consider it a sequel, Robot Wars, which I do believe is a Charles Band one as well, because you could get it on his new app that he's got as well. So that battle is actually really well done for, obviously, its time. It was shot in 1987. And what's great about it is you really get the scale of these, you know, battling robots. Now, Achilles and Alexander fight. And by the end of the fight, Achilles is pretty much, you know, about to win it. And this is where Alexander has a secret weapon, a rocket fist, flies out. And I've seen those ideas in a certain anime. Let me know in the comments, folks, if you're listening tonight, which anime I might be talking about. You know it. It takes the full force of the impact from the shot. Achilles literally then gets knocked into the crowd and kills over 300 people from being knocked over. The referees then declare a match a draw, but Achilles basically declares this was his last match and says he's retiring. From there, he goes to live with his brother Philip and the family, and he's basically considered a traitor. And of course, you know, the simplest thing too, he is considered a coward. All right. So from here, we get to see some of the others. Some of these gen jocks or genetically engineered robot jocks. And one of them is by the name of Athena. Anne Marie Johnson plays her. Now, Anne Marie Johnson, you might remember if you're a Babylon 5 fan. She was in some episodes of that. And, of course, when Athena tries to go up against Alexander, he's worried for this. And he's also attracted to her. From here, he returns to the market and says, basically, look, I'll get up there and fight Alexander. And, of course, from this obviously pisses off Athena. She wants her chance at the title as well. So Achilles' robot's rebuilt. Matsumoto then doesn't want to give away what the new special weapons are in there because he believes that there is a traitor amongst the people there too. Now, we also got Conway in this, who's basically like, I guess you can see him like a fighter ranger, that sort of thing. But he's a strategist, played by Michael Eldridge. Tex Conway's this old Texan guy that is able to give him, like, all obviously the advice of where to go and everything. But turns out that he's actually a traitor. He's giving away secrets to, obviously, the Confederation. So Conway confides in Alex that he believes that Doc is the spy. From here, Conway actually confronts Matsumoto in the office. He reveals who he is, and they have a fight. And, of course, in this scene, we get to Conway shooting, and Masamuto dies, unfortunately. From here, now that we know he's Confederation agent, Conway confesses on video, so they catch him out. But he's also informing the other guys of what's happening behind the scenes, too. From here, we get to see some of what's about to happen. At least to say, we have a great ending where we get to see, obviously, another fight. But the great thing about this, too, we get to see the two, Achilles and Alexander, basically show respect and salute each other. And, of course, then do the jocks crash and burn fist bump at the end there, too. All right, let's have a look at some of the actors in this. Obviously, we've got Gary Graham playing Achilles or Jim Achilles. We've got Erin Marie Johnson playing Athena. Paul Coslow, the great, late great Paul Coslow playing Alexander. We'll get into, of course, his stuff in a sec. We've also got Robert Sampson, Demi Kemikona, Hilary Mason playing Professor Laplace. We've got Michael Eldridge playing Tex Conway. Jeffrey Coombs has a cameo in this as well, a really good one too. And, of course, we've got an uncredited bartender scene by the one and only running director, Stuart Gordon, as well. All right, so we've talked a little bit about, obviously, that. Now we're going to have a look at Gary Graham. Gary Graham, obviously, I knew him from, in the later years, Star Trek. But he's also a muso and done quite a lot of stuff on the side, too. He was in The Jackal, played Mr. Jones in that. That's, of course, The Jackal that came out in 97. I do believe Bruce Willis. He was in that one. Yes, he was. Obviously, most recent thing I've seen him in 2022 was Shuttle Pod Show, which is a Star Trek podcast, which we've mentioned on Making Treks the other night. Great one where we get to see Dominic Keating and Connor Trenier chat to different stars of the Star Trek series. And obviously, they worked on Enterprise with Gary, so they know Gary quite well and worked on other stuff too. So let's have a look at what else he's done. He's done a lot of Trek, folks. He was also in Jeepers Creepers Reborn. He was in Star Trek Enterprise, obviously we mentioned, in Star Trek Renegades. It's probably a fan production, I guess. But he's also in the fan production of Prelude to Axanar, which was quite an epic thing to watch. It was a sort of a proof that they were doing to see just how good they could get the film. It was well done, indeed. Quantum Quest he's been in, Universal Dead as well, TV series. Lots of TV series. He played Ragnar in, of course, Star Trek of Gods and Men. I do believe another, is that a fan production, that one? I'm not sure about that one. Walker, Texas Ranger, Crusade, he played Bruder in that one. I'll have to go back and watch that because obviously I love that series and I forgot that he was in it. Promised Land, Diagnosis, Murder. And of course, back in the 90s, this is one thing I forgot, is that that first season of Alien Nation came out and then, of course, a whole series of TV movies were made. So we've got Alien Nation Millennium, Alien Nation The Enemy Within, Alien Nation The Utera Legacy. And, you know, that was its own little thing too, I guess, loosely in that sort of movie mold of where it was. It was a damn fine bit of TV, let me tell you, folks. It was pretty sweet. But I love that he's in a lot of this genre stuff that we love so much, and it's just a very interesting actor. You know, he's done a lot of different stuff that, you know, Starsky and Hutch he did in the 70s. He did The Quest, playing Aaron Jordan back in the 70s. Hardcore, The Incredible Hulk he was in. The Hollywood Knights. Dukes of Hazzard he was in the early days. TJ Hooker. So he's even seen Trader Blows with Shatner. There you go. So, Gary Rand Grahams, his name is 5'10", born in 1950 in Long Beach, California. California, SoCal native. His divorced wife was by the name of Susan Graham. They've got one child. He's done some books as well. Acting and Other Flying Lessons, A Practical Guide to Film Acting. There you go. Interesting. So have a look at some of the trivia. Obviously, we really like the fact that he's in so much Trek, but that's not the only thing that he's known for, too. He was a paramedic when he played the role of Detective Matthew Sykes in Alien Nation. A full-fledged paramedic. There you go. That's interesting. He's one of the final up for the role of Captain Sisko in Deep Space Nine and the role of Janeway in Voyager. Along with Coombs and Matt Winston, he was one of the three actors to appear in all four seasons of Star Trek Enterprise. He attended the University of California as a pre-med major, but soon switched his major to acting because he was having trouble maintaining the 4.0 grade point average they need for that one. He's got a band called the Sons of Kirk. It was originally called the Gary Graham Garage Band or the Gary Graham Band. And I've heard a little bit of it on that Shuttle Put show. It's really good. It's sort of classic rock and roll. And I do believe he played a Telecaster. So there you go. So good taste in guitars as well. And he's also, too, you know, somebody that I think, you know, he's just always been, had a passion for acting. He can see wide variety of stuff that he's done. And, you know, he's one of the few that's, you know, not that his own quote here. He's got a quote that says, "I'm not one of those actors who is happy even when he's not working. I'm not a workaholic by any stretch of the imagination. My attitude has always been to have a life first and then go do the work." So, good way of looking at it, and it's certainly a good way of, you know, where you're going to go in life. You know, when it comes to having work-life balance is a very important thing. And you consider the long hours that these guys do, it must be like that too. All right, the villain of the piece, or as we say at the end of it, he's not really a villain, you know, not really. German-born and Canadian actor Paul Coslow. Originally, his name was born Manfred Kozlowski, and he was born in 1944, sadly passed away in 2019. And he was in quite a lot of stuff over the years, and definitely somebody that I think... You know, when you saw him once, you definitely remembered, you know. So he was in The Omega Man. He played a character that we see towards the end of that film with Charlton Heston, of course. Definitely the better of the I Am Legend movies, that is for sure.
He was also in Joe Kidd with, of course, Clint Eastwood, Mr. Majestic as well in 1974, and The Drowning Pool in 1975. Anthony Zerb and him, who obviously were in the Omega Man together, were there in Rooster Cogburn, which is the second of the Rooster Cogburn movies, with, of course, John Wayne. So he's also he's done quite a bit of stuff. He's done Heaven's Gate, Roots, The Next Generation, The Glitter Dome. He did several Charlie Bronson movies as well. Done a lot of TV. So he did The Incredible Hulk, Quincy Emmy, Bock Rogers in the 21st Century, T.J. Hooker, The A-Team, Fall Guy, Dallas and Hunter. There you go. Highway to Heaven. Anyone remember that one? That had a good mullet in it too. And he also did a Van Damme movie towards the end of his movie run there too, of course, called Inferno or Desert Heat in some parts of the world, which was directed by the director of Karate Kid. So there you go, folks. A little bit of one there now for you too. And, of course, he was Jesse James in The Dukes of Hazzard. So there you go. We've got two people who are in The Dukes of Hazzard. And, you know, he always played those shifty sort of characters which were funny here and there and definitely different. We'll give that. So that's a very interesting way of looking at it too. Charles Band, we've mentioned before. Obviously, he's a producer he's done a lot of the films that I love growing up with. Obviously, Reanimated, Ghoulies 1 and 2. He's currently found Full Moon Pictures, which he's got the Puppet Master and Subspecies series. But of course, he's done so much, even as a director as well. So you've got some great ones. Trances, obviously, Future Cop, Pulse Pounders, Meridian, Doll Man movies, Doll Man versus Demonic Toys, which I don't believe I've seen yet. I need to maybe look at that as a film too. Puppet Master, The Legacy, Dr. Moreau, if the list goes on, folks. He's got that many films to his name. Majority of them being horror, cult movies, you know, but, you know, a couple here and there that are obviously science fiction as well. And, yeah, still kicking, still going around there, obviously. Charles Band, 71 years of age, you know, 71 years young, really getting out there doing what he's got to do. To make good movies, and he does. They're a lot of fun for what they are. Obviously, too, we've got Anne-Marie Johnson, born in 1960. She's an American actress, obviously, an impressionist as well. And she's done a lot of stuff over the years, obviously, in The Heat of the Night, In Living Colour, Melrose Place, JAG, Girlfriends in the In-Between. But I think the biggest one I remember she was in was obviously Babylon 5. As well, and she's quite good in what I've seen her in, obviously, in these two. So hats off to her for a fantastic performance in this one as well. So, you know, it's just one of those golden opportunities, this one too. All right, so let's have a look at some of the trivia for Robot Jocks, courtesy, of course, of IMDb. And this is obviously a great way to check out all that different stuff. Stuart Gordon, of course, writing with a long script with Joe Haldeman, which is really, really cool to have the Forever War writer doing that sort of stuff. That's just on another level. Okay, so the screams of the spectators being crushed by the giant robot in this has actually been used again. It was later sampled in The Becoming by Nine Inch Nails. The actual sequel to Robot Jocks was considered but never made. Stuart Gordon, Gary Graham and Paul Kosler would have returned as both director and stars. The cancelled sequel would have had the Achilles and Alexander teaming up to stop an alien invasion. Stuart Gordon almost cast Jean-Claude Van Damme in the role of Achilles. Contrary to what was seen on screen, Gary Graham and Anne-Marie Johnson did not get along with one another, mostly because of the differences in political beliefs. There you go. Stuart Gordon was stated this is an action movie for kids, even though it shows a crowd of screaming people being crushed and burned by a falling robot and a naked woman in the series. It has still got a PG rating. Patches worn on the suits of Tex and Achilles include the real US Army patches of the 101st Airborne and the 18th Airborne Corps. We also have writer Joe Haldeman wanted the title of the film The Mechanics, but director Stuart Gordon instead insisted on Robo Jocks. Vanessa Williams originally auditioned for the role of Athena. Ron Cobb helped design the giant robots. This is one of the few movies to get an explosion in outer space would make no sound. Folks, Robo Jocks is awesome. It is a 5 out of 5 on, of course, the scale you know so well, the Hallenbach scale, here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.